we have some time for any questions or comments over the next half an hour. Just the way I'm going to run it, if you'd like to speak, just indicate and I'll take a speaking list. And the speakers will respond at the end of the discussion. Amanda?
They're also shocked by what was going on. And that's a general feeling that people can't work out what's going on. But they know something big is happening in this country in a way that's brutalising them. And, you know, I just don't think that this affects all of us. It's not just, we're all vulnerable in that sense. The 7-Eleven story that came out of Four Corners. Why are those wages being cut? Because of fear. Fear because a lot of people working in those places, like a lot of people working in taxis, taxi service, are not supposed to be working. They've got problems with their visas. And the trade union movement is under attack in those areas. Levels of confidence that can connect people across supporting the building, opposing the taxing on the trade union movement at the moment with Dyson Hayden is linked to the question of supporting the closing down of the concentration camps. Supporting proper award wages is linked to the question of human rights. It pushes back that brutality that's leaching into every part of daily life. It's not. That brutality is causing, I'm sure the people who work in those cities are taking antidepressants. I'm sure the people who are brutalising people around the place are affected by this as well. And there's a positive story in that because there are social movements around. This is a big meeting, isn't it? This is a big meeting. And there's stories around social forces around that can push these things back. 300 people did it last Friday. But it really wasn't 300, was it? It was a resonance that this is coming, this is part of our lives, that we have now been exposed to that. And so therefore it's an opportunity, I think, for us to support, the pushback against not just this government, but the whole neoliberal agenda that's pushing us as if are all individual atoms. And if we can form collective responses through trade union movements, through campaigns to support people who are being attacked, we're supporting ourselves. It is in our own self-interest to do this. And I think that that is the thing that people found in an inarticulate way about what happened last Friday. And it was, I think it's going to be a watershed for people if we take that opportunity, like that. We know that there's a big demo coming up in October, 11th of October, around refugee rights. But equally, if there was another demonstration around workers' rights, that's equally important to attend and hand out the refugees, things around refugees and asylum seekers. Have those linkages made, and we can push back in a more coordinated and not just talk truth to power, but counterpose our power to their power.
I don't know if anyone saw it the other day in the business section of The Age, which I occasionally read because I like to find out what business is doing with mining resources and things like that. I saw an article that Transfield is getting worried about the public perception of it, and they want to invite financial portfolio managers who are promoting their shares to go to Manus to have a look at how well they're operating. Mm-hmm. Now, this was a reaction to the murmurs of dissatisfaction and divestment. I think it was Hester Superfund and one other big one that have said that they're divesting from Transfield. Now, this is a wonderful opportunity for people to be able to ask their super funds to find out. The future fund now, there should be an outcry about where the future fund is investing their money. So people who maybe don't go to demonstrations, because we tend to see the same faces at the demonstrations, people who can actually walk with their feet as far as their share portfolio goes, who might start getting a bit nervous about where their super funds are invested. And actually, Transfield and other organisations might be getting very, very nervous about people and consumers and shareholders. So,
probably more of a reiteration and speaking to the prior comment rather than a question, but I just think it's in one way depressing the direction that our government is going in, but in a lot of ways quite telling. I mean, in the news recently there was that horrible story about, I think it was in Budapest, the truck full of people who were migrating, and we've got in Europe people crossing that strait and people moving around. I mean, it's the future. That's what globalization is, and that's what climate change as well is doing.
Yeah, we can't hear her. Stand up.
I don't like that. I'm just basically saying that with globalization and with climate change, it's really telling that there's all this people migration and our government is going, oh my god, freak out. And it's actually going to become a lot more common, and we already are the laughing stock of the world, I think, in a lot of ways. but in one way, I guess it's not necessarily an optimistic thing, but it's good that we're looking stupid and that we kind of realise quite soon that other countries are going to be dealing with the same problems, and our solution, telling everyone to shut up and pretend like it's not happening, is actually not a solution at all. So maybe that might be a good thing. We'll be the ones that look like an idiot, but the rest of the world will do better things. Find better solutions.
Actually, I couldn't agree more with Marcus's comments about drawing the link between different things and Operation Fortitude. And I was actually really pleased also to see that a number of unions came out in opposition to Operation Fortitude. And I think one of the reasons there was such a big reaction is because, you know, there are a lot of people who, you know, they've switched off to the refugee debate. That's happening to those people over there. It doesn't affect me. They've switched off to the meaning of the anti-terrorism laws and Islamophobia. That affects other people over there. It doesn't affect me. And suddenly, I think people thought, holy shit. They had no idea, because also I think the refugee rhetoric of both major parties has impacted on not just good old Aussie Anglo racism, but also I think it's impacted on various migrant communities who've been told that these are just illegal, you came the right way, these people came illegally. And so I think that, because it's been repeated for so many years, more than, you know, 15 years now, I think some people have started to believe it. And it was interesting hearing, Christine, isn't it, talk about workers being culled and also workers leaving. And under the Howard government, a lot of progressive workers or people who had a humane view of their job and worked for immigration left because they knew there was nothing really you could do that was nice or empathetic or anything because of the laws. And I really think in the lead up to the Refugee Action Collective rally on the 11th of October, I think we have to think about how to tap into the sentiment of people who don't normally come to refugee demos, who came out for Operation Fortitude because they were just horrified with the extent of police powers. And I gather Border Force workers contacted their union to complain about, you know, what was happening with Operation Fortitude, although I'm sure they're now going to just do it under the rug. I don't think they've actually really cancelled it. I think they still do it, but they'll be smarter. They won't announce it this time.
That's right.
Good evening. Thank you to all the speakers here tonight. My name's Alexander. I'm here with my fellow student from Australian Catholic University, Victoria Parade. There's just a few things really awkward standing here. You might want to stand in the corner so I can address everyone. There are just a few things I'd like to touch on. First of all, I'm sorry, the lady that just spoke, what was your name?
Sue.
Just to touch on what Sue's saying, I think it's really interesting the rhetoric that is being delivered to us by our politicians and the mainstream media of ultimately division. We have so many causes at this point in time that it's really hard to focus on all of them, and it's quite overwhelming. And I think the most important thing, as Susan said, is unity. Try and find something you have in common with another cause rather than say yours is more important than theirs. And I think if we do that and sort of remove ourselves from others, we're only following the rhetoric that's being delivered to us. So I think the main thing is, whether it's you agree with it or not, is that someone's pissed off about it. All right? And that's what we need to focus on, whether you're passionate about unions or whether you hate them. The fact that someone's out there challenging the status quo is the most important thing. And I think that's a really important thing in fundamental democracy, and going off the quote about challenging politics and laws when it's the citizen's duty to do so. So anyway, I'll stop rambling, but I think that's just really important. Second of all, as I said, I'm from Australian Catholic University. We're starting a awareness-raising campaign at our university regarding the Border Force Act. We predominantly train health professionals. That's one of our largest graduate populations, and obviously this affects them strongly. I'm a student nurse. And both my colleague and I are very passionate about this issue. So I guess there are two points. First of all, just to let you know that from ACU this is happening. Perhaps I could have a chat to the gentleman from RMIT afterwards. And second of all, just to let you know that if you were from any of these community groups and would like to get in touch with us, we are a relatively small university, and this is only small starting off, but we do have a student population of 37,000, and that's a lot of students. So if we can tap into that and get an additional petition to what's happening, that would be great. So if you want to come up and have a chat to us, and whether you're in the higher education sector or otherwise, or whether you know someone in it, that would be fantastic. And thank you again to the speakers.
Just on that point, one of the reasons, or I suppose outcomes that we were really hoping for tonight was to actually try and set up a network to respond around the Border Force Act. So it would be really good if people did want to stick around at the end and leave their names and talk about that. I just had Chris Green at the back.
Australia's detention regime is certainly creaking under the weight of its own contradictions. There is no permanent resettlement on Nauru. There is no permanent resettlement on Manus. The one place, I guess, that it is working in a sad way is that it is intended as a deterrent to break people, and it is. And that is why that there is so much to hide. And that is why that shining a light on what the Abbott government is doing is so important. Well, there's another sense in which it's not working, and it's not working for Abbott at the polls. He's behind 53-47 and has beaten for some time. He clings to kicking refugees because nothing else is working for him. His agenda of cuts for the rest of us is deeply unpopular. And refugees is one of the key areas where Bill Shorten won't challenge him. Shorten voted for the Labor Force, the Border Force bill, turnbacks recently. But in spite of that, the grassroots movement, the refugee movement, is growing and has had an effect on the Labor Party. There was a 40% vote against turnbacks at the recent Labor Party National Conference. That dissent is a result of the movement that we're building outside of Parliament. We need to keep building that movement. In particular, I want to talk about what to do. The October the 11th rally that's coming up, one of the key themes is we won't be silenced. One of the things that we want to do is if you are a nurse or a doctor or a teacher or a social worker, we want you to lead the rally. We want contingents from your workplace, with banners from your workplace, with union banners, or if you know any of those groups, please invite them along to come and lead the march. There are posters and flyers for the rally up here. Everybody can take some to take to university, take to your workplace. Just one last thing as well. For those of us like myself who are in unions, we can pass motions against the Border Force Act, and certainly the Queensland Teachers Union, the Teachers Union down here did recently, saying they would defend any of their members who are charged under the Border Force Act and they oppose the Border Force Act. I'd encourage us people to do that wherever they are as well. Thank you.
I just have in the corner Ben with the...
Yeah, like a bunch of other people have raised, I thought Friday's response was really fantastic and really shows that, you know, sometimes we feel like people aren't responding adequately to refugees. I think Naomi Klein said last night in Q&A that she thought it was a shame that people were responding to the Border Force Act but not to the... the horrors of Nauru. But I think kind of the two things are connected, like, and I think it's hugely encouraging that people came out to oppose the Border Force Act. A kind of
spontaneous action, a spontaneous response, we can mobilise all these people. In a similar way, a couple of years ago when the Labor Party introduced the Papua New Guinea solution, we saw like a kind of spontaneous response, thousands of people coming out to protest, like for a couple of weekends in a row. I think one of the protests was about 5,000 people, and we have had those wins in the past, as well as with the Transfield stuff. Transfield just got their new contract, but a couple of years ago, the artists in Sydney had the Biennale boycott campaign as part of like making Transfield's name mud. You know, I think the October rally is definitely important, but we need to look for those opportunities. You know, the threatened deportations that are coming up, where we can actually respond and kind of. It's like you can't quite predict sometimes when it's going to happen, but, you know, the Border Force stuff on Friday seemed to hit the right or the wrong kind of wrong nerve among some people and, like, you know, anger them to the point where they come out. We need to look for those opportunities where we can, like, spontaneously try to get people out on the streets and kind of get people, you know, when they're most
speakers. I just want to reiterate what Sue said a little while ago, I just like to reiterate what Sue Bolton said a little while ago about dividing and conquering and keeping everyone separate. It's just an extra bit about the dual citizenship, citizenship cancellation thing, and that is sort of, you know, by act of God, it happens and no one knows until it's convenient to chuck someone out and make an example or whatever. That's pure discipline and punish. There are several grades of citizens, and I don't think it's stupidity. I don't think it's short-sightedness. I think it's just the way this government works, that their own want of stupidity is their cover for their evil.
Hi, my name is Melanie. For many years I was a worker, not anymore, but I made sure that I was on the union committee and that anything to do with a protest or a refugee issue was raised as an issue that the committee needed to take up and circulate to all members. For example, like the October the 11th rally should be moved as a motion, student union motion, student committee motion, to bring as many people out as possible. And the other thing I wanted to say was that I think a lot of confidence was gained to protest on Friday through the Indigenous fights that happened earlier on. I think there's quite a lot of confidence in taking over that that intersection outside Flinders Station and going out there and stopping the traffic when something needed to be said. And I think that that's another thing I want to just point out, that fights are connected. The fights for Indigenous rights, the fights for refugee rights, the fights for workers' rights. But they need to come together. And I hope that at this rally on October the 11th, we see a lot of the Indigenous community, a lot of workers, a lot of gay rights people, and, you know, all of the people who are struggling right now against this horrible act of government.
Getting towards the end of our speaking list, so if you'd really put your hand up high for the remainder of the discussion, if you'd like to talk, and I'll make a list.
Well, I want to thank the speakers for painting such a horrific picture of what goes on in these detention centres. I think it's the reason so many of us fight. I also think as people have said, what the Friday action indicated is that the government's gone too far with this Border Force Act. And that creates the real potential to drive a wedge. And I think building up a campaign on the ground is all important to show people that are thinking about defying this act and speaking out and risking jail, that if they do so, there will be support and people will come and rally to their defence and make it much harder for the government to victimise them. There's the moral legitimacy of this is speaking out about child abuse, which, you know, the government is meant to be against, and also the repression and the gagging. But we need to have a grassroots movement that will stand behind those people when they do that, because at the official level of politics, the situation is so thoroughly appalling. The fact that, you know, with the Border Force Act, the Greens moved an amendment to say that reporting child abuse should not carry a jail sentence, and like in every other government institution, it should be mandatory that health professionals report it. And the entire Labor Party voted that down. You know, not a single person was prepared to say, no, that's not right. And so I don't think we can rely on just changing the government to turn the situation around at all. It needs to start from us. It needs to start from us supporting the health professionals that are prepared to speak out, that recognise this is the government and the Labor Party going way too far. And even if you think that, like, it's the fact that the situation today makes John Howard look like a humanitarian. It's an absolute indictment of the situation. And even back when Howard was around, there was MPs, even from within the Liberal Party, prepared to speak out against what Howard did. Like, Petra Georgiou, I think, threatened to cross the floor a number of times. The Australian Parliament today, or not the Greens being the honourable exception, the Labor and Liberal parties are down the line committed to this. Not a single person will speak out. Tanya Plibersek leader of the left of the Labor Party, said she's never been prouder that the party adopted a turn back policy. So I think, you know, we can't look to that sort of our official leaders on this. We need to start from the strength that we can bring from the ground. The unions are prepared to get behind it. Grassroots organisations like it, ACU, wherever they prop up, the unions that represent the workers there, like that's where the solidarity has got to come from. And I think we have a real opportunity to push with this. These are real human stories that people can feel, you know, I stand with those workers speaking out. And so I think we want to embrace this as an opportunity, and it's a real argument for continuing to build this campaign.
I've got Hannah right in the corner.
Christine, for sharing your insights, and thank you to the other Christine for showing that it is a broad interdisciplinary response. I'm interested in continuing talking about how civil society and how everyone engaged in this room can continue to support the health professionals, because they are the ones who are supporting the asylum seekers who are being imprisoned, who are being detained unfairly. So I think we could talk a lot more about how we can support them. There's a lot of potential to increase those relationships and build the campaign. And I'm really want to talk to you about how we can support the health professionals and also the students who are going to be the next generation of this. So thank you very much for your speaking out today. It's really inspired.
My name's Faye. I'm part of the Campus Refugee Rights Club at Melbourne Uni. Thanks a lot to the speakers. And just, I think, to follow on from one thing Christine from the Social Work Association was talking about, which I think is quite important, was that the Border Force, you know, Act is, I think, a response to people speaking out, that there is a crisis and contradiction within the system itself. And I think that plays out in two ways. The first way is, like, you only need to look at Cambodia, right? It's all over the media. Millions they've spent, and actually the pressure they put refugees under to go to Cambodia, and yet they still refuse. Single women who've been sexually assaulted, so they're deemed single women, and they have families, and they say, we'll send you your family to Cambodia if you agree to sign the thing, you'll be resettled there. And so they can show to the Australian public that their policy is winning. But actually, they haven't been able to pressure those women, even under those circumstances, to sign and say that they've been happily resettled in Cambodia. I think, secondly, people who've been working there who've been speaking out already. You only need to look at, actually, it wasn't just, you know, there were very, very good protests in all the capital cities, almost, you know, against the Border Force laws. But actually, you look at the different hospitals in which people have held the banners and said, we're going to actually defy the Border Force law. That is a very serious statement that medical health professionals in Australia are willing to defy the law to say that they won't implement the refugee policy the government is pushing through. I think that's very serious sign for the refugee rights campaign, is that we need to do everything to back this up. I think that this means that we need to be able to spread the leaked information that comes out of detention centres. We need to pass motions in every school, in every workplace, in every union that we're at, that we're going to go out and support anyone who's willing to defy the law. And, you know, I think particularly trade unions and university campuses as well. And I think that means, you know, we can't give up the pressure actually on the Border Force. So that takes me, it's part of, I think, demolishing all of Abbott's Operation Sovereign Borders legislation. Like, I think the protest on Friday was really good, but actually I think it's going to require much more than that protest. It requires people who are going to be committed to following through until we actually get all of the legislation repealed. And that means under Labor government as well. I think that's also, we can't ignore people in the Labor Party fighting. It's not Michelle O'Neill, is a Labor Party member. She spoke to a standing ovation Labor Party conference. 42% of people voted against the turnback policy in Labor Party. That's a good sign. Same transfer. A good sign, actually. They're saying that they're under the pressure of the refugee movement. That's why they're more worried. It's not necessarily the best, but it's a broader campaign that's spread in so many different community areas. And I think we need to keep up the pressure. It's more important now than ever.
Yeah. I'll just at the back. There's a guy who's been for a while, and then Peter, and then I'll let the speaker sum up because we're running out of time.
I just wanted to say something about... I just wanted to say something about what Sue got in front of said and about the young lady, sorry, we didn't get her name, I'm just Sue talked about how she thought that after Friday, now that the government was working, it would still continue with such actions, but not be so stupid about it. I really don't think they were being stupid at all. I think they knew exactly what they were doing. I think it's just a disgusting sign of the audacity of the government to think that they have the right or ability to test the waters, to see how authoritarian they can be, to see the limits of which they can push their Gestapo-esque immigration police and their actions on the streets of Australia. I don't think they were being stupid at all. I think they were seeing what they could get away with. Mm. It was good to see that they couldn't get away with that action specifically, but I don't think for a second that they're going to be discouraged by that whatsoever. I just think that they're going to be taking it on board and knowing that they're not going to be able to come out and have a press conference at the train station about it, so it's still going to be able to have a press conference at the train station. Also, what the young lady up the front left said after that about the government trying to portray itself as bumbling and idiotic and you know, incompetent over these matters, as if they don't know what's going on. I think that, again, exactly as she said, it's an absolute farce. And it is to try to come across as harmless idiots to the people who are maybe sort of vaguely aware of what's going on in politics but don't really care, to avoid to have such a large percentage of the population that actually see them for what they are and despise them, as opposed to just be like, oh, you know, they're idiots or whatever. So I really just think that it's important on these points to try to basically get the point across to everyone who doesn't see this and doesn't feel like this, that you can speak to in your workplace, your classroom, or whatever it is, to try to reinforce the idea that these people, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of the people that I hear, if I ever try to speak to them about politics in work or at school or wherever, they have a lot of people have the idea in their heads that because they don't understand the issue as well as these people, it suits these people who have studied their whole lives, you know, their lawyers and doctors and people standing in parliament, that they don't understand the issue as well as these people, so therefore they hear about all the terrible things, say, happening to asylum seekers in detention centres, they hear about all these horrible things happening, but they think, they honestly think that these people in power have people's interests at heart, and that they're doing these things. People believe this. They believe that these people are doing these things because they have the greater interest of the Australian people at heart, and they think that, like, oh, okay, well, they're doing that, but it's to avoid something else worse happening. And I just can't tell you how important it is to try to get the idea through to people who do think that way or believe that way because they're not so well-informed themselves that these people are just baseless hate mongers who only interest in power for themselves and nothing else.
My name is Peter, and I'm a member of Refugee Action Collective. I've spent a great deal of time, together with others, in the streets of Melbourne. And I just want to say that in the last couple of months, the information coming out of the detention centre seems to have encouraged people to feel very strongly about this. Those people who actually think about this sort of issue. And I think it's important what Greg does in putting about the information that we have. And I would encourage people, for example, before they leave here, to pick up, those of you who are in unions, to pick up leaflets that links the union issues with asylum seeker issues. I think this is very important because there are many people that we don't isolate ourselves from other movements that are just as important as our actions on behalf of refugees. Secondly, I want to say something about what Margaret said, that we need to create a movement and we need to sustain a movement and we need to actually use every means to promote and to explain and to pressure those who make decisions. are mounting a complaint against this government in the International Criminal Court. Now, if any of you are interested in committing to organize to endorse this action, we already have 35 endorsements from various groups, and we are hoping to get 100 endorsements. That's the figure that I came up with. And if we can achieve that, I think it would be quite important to be able to say that civil society won't go along with the legal and criminal action of this government.
Maybe I don't need it, actually, after all. Then.
You talk quiet.
Okay. There was quite a few people who still had their hands up, so if you'd like to continue the discussion after the meeting, I encourage you to stick around. But there's just a few things as well that didn't come up in the discussion that I'd just like to note. Obviously, people would have already heard about October 11th, which is the next major rally, and it's marking the anniversary of Operation Sovereign Borders that the Refugee Action Collective is holding. The other things, I think, as well, that I think we should think about are potentially putting up and coordinating a website where some of the leaked reports can go up and we can share it. And also, in terms of union resolutions, have been mentioned today about moving resolutions to condemn the legislation as well as support anyone who defies it. And a third proposal that wasn't mentioned, but I know some other cities are talking about, is a proposal for a national day of action specifically on the border force legislation to bring together all the different groups to mark that as well. So I'll just hand over to each of the speakers to sum up before we leave.
Thanks.
Do you want to come up here?
Oh, thank you. Don't really need to go outside.
I hadn't really thought about summing up a few words, but I think that everybody here has the same idea. We're on the same pathway. I think it's well recognised that we need to be working together, because if we don't work together, then we don't affect any change. And it's absolutely vital that we encourage our friends, families, colleagues to jump on board. And I'm not sure who said, I can't remember who said, but yes, it is pointless to have too many things that you're splinter groups. We do really need to be focused on joint efforts to make change, and I think that that's what tonight is all about. So I hope that you can all take home that message and spread the word. Thank you very much.
I do think this has been a really intelligent and articulate debate evening. It's just been fantastic and good for the soul on many levels. I think it was Marcus that said brutality is leaching into every part of our everyday life, and that is just so true. That really resonated with me. Every time I get on a train or a tram and I'm confronted by those bloody public transport officers in their trench coats, I just can't even believe it's at that level, you know. And yeah, you need to make the link, that's right. And I have to tell you, if you stand up against the kid that's being brutalised by them, you get thrown off the tram and find yourself. So, you know, be careful before you do that. I also work at RMIT. I lecture in social work, and I work at the Alfred Hospital. I do trauma debriefing in the trauma unit, funnily enough, in the ICU. And I have to say, the workers at the Alfred are up in arms over this, and my social work students have got a group going. They call themselves SWAP, Social Work Alliance Project. They're on Facebook. They were the ones that dragged me into the Border Force protest a couple of months ago where we all sticky taped our mouths with black sticky tape, and they've been jumping up and down about all of us getting involved in the 11th of October, so you'll certainly see the AASW there, that's for sure.
Not too sure what I'm going to be summing up here, just we all seem to be on the same page and it's all really good. I did actually, I was going to mention that the University of Wollongong, I believe it is, has an agreement with the Department of Border Protection, Immigration, whatever they want to call themselves now, as far as the training of Border Force employees goes. I think that would be, well, I suppose they've just put themselves up as a bit of a target there. At RAC, we are looking at having a targeted divestment push as far as targeting all the superannuation funds, the unions, the board of management, and I forget who else, to get them to divest out of Transfield and any other companies that are involved in the detention centre regimes. So there are things afoot. RAC does meet up on a Monday evening at 6:30 at 540 Elizabeth Street, just up the road at the Nursing Federation building there. Everyone's sort of welcome to come along. Maybe you might get a bigger room, you never know. Just encourage everyone to keep speaking up, and social media is a great thing. It wasn't just the 300 people at Flinders Street Station on the Friday. It was the whole social media, how it had gone off, and everyone had resonated with just being appalled at the that the idea that anyone could be stopped and just asked for papers, as though this was 1930s Germany. And it's not. It's 21st century Australia, and I think it's time that we all started taking a part in raising our voices and saying it's not just the politicians up there making stupid decisions, that you actually work for us, politicians. You work for us. You are supposed to represent us, and you're not at the moment. And we can all speak up and say something about that.
Well, that's it. I really encourage everyone to leave your name with the Action Collective. There's a bucket there as well. We're collecting donations for this evening and for the campaign. Please stay in touch, and we hope to see you at the next meeting or next rally.
Oh, there you go.